Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I can hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus on together. And I am so excited that you are joining me on today. I want you to grab your Bible. Yes, grab your Bibles and come right on in and make yourself right at home. I tell you, we have another beautiful lesson for you on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be tremendously blessed, revelated, encouraged, and edified from these lessons on today, this particular lesson on today. We're going to be talking about the miracles and the ministry of Christ. And so I want you to grab your Bible. We're going to be looking at Matthew's chapter number 4. Verses 23 through verse 25, as well as Matthew number 5, verses 1 through 12. So grab your Bibles and come on in, make yourself right at home. I pray that you call somebody and told them that to join us at home. Amen. Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. I know you're going to be blessed, woman and man of God, precious child of God. So let's look at the scripture and things. And before we do, we're going to pray. Father, we ask, oh God, that you bless us, oh God. We humble ourselves up under your mighty hand. We ask that you bless the hearers, and that they be not only hearers but doers of your word, that they will produce, Lord, greater fruit in their life, oh God, and be greater men and women of God that you called us out to be. And Father, we be careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise that's due unto you. And Father, we thank you for being such a gracious and a wonderful, loving God. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to verse number 20. It reads on this line. It said, and Jesus went out about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of disease among the people. And his fame went out throughout Samaria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that which were lunatics, and those that had a palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciple came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which do persecute, which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, and teaching in the synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So far, the reading of the scripture, we're going to be talking about, again, the ministry and the miracles of Christ. Now, Jesus was the Word made flesh. We'll find that over in John 1, chapter, verse number 14. He obviously used words to teach his disciples, and he backed up his speech with miracles. Jesus showed us his authority over death, disease, and demons and nature. When Jesus spoke, his word had special meanings because he proved he could provide for his follower. Peter noted this care on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Peter said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know." Acts chapter 22, verse 2, and Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Now, the evidence of Jesus' miraculous ministry was so strong, appealed that the result in many conversion. Now, let's look at the lessons for life, the Sermon on the Mount. Number one, he said, be happy attitude. Jesus is known for teaching the Beatitudes. While the gospel records, for instance, of this one instance of this sermon, it is probably Jesus taught these concepts continually during his ministry on earth. We can read of Jesus' sermon with these attitudes in Matthew chapter number 5, verses number 1 through 7, and verse 29. The theme, blessed, should be understood as happy or content. 9 times Jesus used this term in the beginning of his sermon. Now, these Beatitudes are not meant to be multiplied choice elements. Rather, they are the sum total of a preferred believer's attitude. Now, these attitudes serve as a personal measurement of our spiritual walk with God. Happiness, blessedness, according to Christ, does not happen according to our wishes, but according to God's will. Now, through testimonies of faithful believers in present and past ages, we can realize the absolute truth of these Beatitudes. Now, number two, the rule for righteousness. While the Beatitudes are in general in nature, Jesus became more direct in the rest of his sermon. He spoke on the guidelines for money, attitude towards others, and the elimination of worries. He encouraged prayer in this Sermon on the Mount, for this is the most valuable tool for a relationship with God and for even self-examination. Many call the pattern of prayer outlined in the Sermon on the Mount the Lord's Prayer, and in this were a consistent prayer, we actually recite verbatim. We could imitate a playback device. Rather, many Christians recognize this prayer to be a pattern for a personal prayer. Jesus stated, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," that means praise, "thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," that means submission. "Give us this day our daily bread," that means the prayer request. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," that's repentance, forgiveness, and thankfulness. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," that's self-examination. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And that ends in praise. It opened up in praise and it ended in praise. It talked about submission, our prayer requests, our repentance and forgiveness and thankfulness. And then it goes on to depict also self-examination. Now, reflecting on these 6 areas of our personal prayer helps us to develop a balanced approach to prayer and guides us to seek God's purpose, even for our own lives. Now, the Sermon on the Mount challenges us to change our focus from things in the world to heavenly priorities. Indeed, before embracing things, non-believers feel an importance to their welfare. A Christian should examine them in light of the scripture and eternal values. Now, Jesus concluded his message by saying, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. Matthew 7:26. Jesus' sermon was unlike any others. Jesus impacted the world both by his miracle and by his teaching. Matthew 7:28-29. And it shall come to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, let's take a look at the parables. Jesus spoke often in parables, which gave maximum impact of his teaching. Parables contain elements familiar to the average person, which enabled Jesus to communicate spiritual truths that transforms lives. Now, Jesus' parables are dynamic. Life events constantly change, but the truth of God's word is unchanging, and it continually offers a fresh perspective for contemporary situation. The content of his parable includes elements related to farming, fishing, shepherding, weddings, and business practices. These areas were similar or familiar to the hearers then, and people today still yet understand them. Now let's look at the Good Shepherd. Jesus referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. This comparison would suggest compassion and protection to those who follow him, and his sheep was considered to be valuable unto him, and therefore a good shepherd would use whatever means necessary to protect his sheep. And Jesus stated, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and knoweth my sheep and am known of mine. John 10:13-14. Now let's look at the vine and the branches. Jesus also spoke of himself as being the vine and his followers as his branches. Branches grow naturally from the main stem or vine. Fruit grown on the branches require nutrients that must travel from the vine. Jesus stated, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. John 15:7-8. Now, Jesus desired a continual bearing of fruit. This passage revealed that our prayers are blessed if we fully submit to his will. Now, let's look at another aspect of what Jesus is speaking in regards to in this ministry. He talked also about his second coming. Now, according to the Wilmington Guide to the Bible, Jesus is noted to have given at least 45 predictions. Some of these predictions related to his trial, execution, and his resurrection. Now, through these fulfilled prophecies and predictions, the church can have faith in Jesus' prophecies of his second coming. Now, God provided warnings that believers could be prepared in the midst of a stressful time. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Now, the gospel records over 80 times that Jesus used the term Son of Man. The Jews knew the direct Masonic reference to this term from Daniel's writing. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the cloud of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days and brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nation, and language should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. That's Daniel 7:13-14. While Jesus was on trial, he said, ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Mark 14:62. This is the reason the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy from me, which ye think, what ye think." And they all commended him to be guilty of death, condemned him of being guilty of death. And that's Mark chapter 14, verses 63 and verse 64. Now, let's take a look further at the miraculous ministry. Demonstrated power over death. The scripture recorded that Jesus demonstrated power over death. Each time there were many who confirmed the actual death and witnessed the resurrection. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue whose 12-year-old daughter was sick. Shortly after Jairus appealed to Jesus for help, a messenger came saying, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Luke chapter 8, verses 49 and 50. Now, when Jesus arrived, critics laughed at him when he said, "She is not dead, but sleepeth." Luke chapter 8, verse 52. Jesus put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Luke chapter 8, verse 54 and 55. Now, another occurrence of Jesus raising someone from the dead was the raising of Lazarus. A message came to Jesus that Lazarus was sick. However, instead of immediately going to his assistant, Jesus and his disciple waited. Lazarus died and was buried. This provided a setting for the miraculous, for the most had no hope that Lazarus would live again. But with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Shadokobashanda. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All things are possible. Now let's take a look at John chapter 11, verse 41 to 43. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, Lazarus arose from the dead, and many people was amazed. The greatest account of the resurrection in the gospel was of Jesus himself. After suffering a cruel death on the cross, Jesus was buried, and the third day he rose again. The resurrected Jesus was seen by hundreds for over 40 days. Jesus stated, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, and though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." That's John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Now let's look a little further at the demonstrated power over demon. Jesus demonstrated his power over demon at least seven times, as he recorded it in the gospel. Fear over the devil power was broken as people noticed Jesus' authority. Not only did Jesus have this power, but he also gave this power to his disciples. Jesus commissioned 70 disciples to go among the city to minister. Not only that, afterward, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Luke 10, verses 17 through 19. Now, let's look at the demonstrated power even over nature and the needs. And that's number one. We're going to look at the protection of the disciples. Jesus showed himself powerful over the elements of nature to his disciples. Mark recorded such a story. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Mark 4, verses 35 to 36. Jesus fell asleep in the lower portion of the boat, and soon afterwards a storm arose. The trained men, fishermen realized the disastrous potential of sinking, and they awoke Jesus as if he cared about their situation. He said unto them, "Why are ye afraid, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Matthew 8:26. Now, if the disciple would have had faith for the short while, perhaps the storm would have taken them to another side more quickly. Still, they were amazed at the great calm in response to Jesus' command. Jesus did not care about the welfare. Jesus did care about the welfare of his followers. However, his greatest desire was that they had faith. Now, another occurrence of Jesus' demonstrated power over the sea was recorded when Jesus came walking on the sea, which was recorded when in Matthew chapter number 14, verses 22 and 33. And again, this is another condition where there was a great raging storm. And so whatever storm is raging in your life, I would encourage you to just take a moment and use the power that God has given unto you and rebuke the wind, rebuke the storm. Let God use your own words to rebuke the adversary and the winds and the storms that's coming up against your life. That power resides in you, in and through the Holy Ghost. God will do it in and through your life. Now, let's look further. We must exercise the power that has been given and delivered unto the church. At first, the disciple thought that they were seeing a spirit. However, once they realized it was, Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they were that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 to 33. In our storms of life, the Lord is mindful and ever ready to bring us to peace and comfort. Now, let's look at how he demonstrated his power over the need when there was people who was hungry, when he fed the needy and fed the hungry. Jesus was concerned about the physical welfare of those who followed him. He was impressed by those with spiritual hunger even more. He also understood their physical needs. Twice it is recorded that he fed the multitude miraculously. The scripture recorded that he had fed 5,000 men and soon after fed 4,000 men. With the addition of women and children, Jesus conversely provided with over 20,000 meals, 25,000 meals, and possibly there were even were other similar incidents that was not even recorded. We never know. We don't know. The first miraculous feeding took place when Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass as he took the five loaves and the two fishes and looking up to heaven and blessed them and break them and gave the loaves to his disciple, and the disciple gave it to the multitude, and they did eat and were filled. And not only that, they took up a fragments that remained from the 12 basket full. And they that had eaten, that were about 5,000 men, and besides men, women, and children. It was 5,000 men besides women and children. You find that over in Matthew chapter 14, verses 19 through verse 21. Now, the second miraculous feeding took place as Jesus took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciple and the disciple to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left in 7 baskets filled. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. That's Matthew chapter 15, verse 36 to 38. Now, in both meals, Jesus' prayer consisted of blessing and thanking God, his prayer. Conversely, the fish and the bread supernaturally multiply. Now, these miracles provided a parallel to God's provision of substance to Israel in the desert. God provided quail and manna to them, fish and bread to the disciple, and he will also provide for his children even today. Now, let's look at another miracle and a demonstration of power over the tax money. Now, some question Jesus' relationship to Caesar's. The critics throughout they could snare him into imposing the Roman government or the Pontius Jews who represented payment to the throne. They asked him, "Is it lawful for us to pay tribute unto Caesar's or no?" But he perceived the craftiness and said unto them, "Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny whose image and superscription have it. And they answered and said, "Caesar." And he said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things that which be Caesar's, and unto God the things that be God's." Luke chapter 20, verse 22 and 25. We should not see ourselves as exempt from the duties of citizenship. Jesus did not justify evading taxes or basis of the Rome's corrupted behavior. Now, another time an individual asked Peter, does not your master pay tribute? He said yes. And when he come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or pay tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter said unto him, "Of strangers." And Jesus said unto him, "Then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And thou, when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money that take. And give unto them for me and thee." Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 and 7. We should not worry about our financial condition, for God will assist us with regards to meeting our needs and also in paying our obligation even to society. Lord, assist us, we your people, to take care of every obligation and responsibility. Now, cursing of the fig tree. Jesus rebuked the tree for not producing fruit. Although he was teaching a spiritual lesson, the disciple was astonished to discover that the tree dead the following day. And Peter calling to remembrance unto him, "Master, behold, of the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Have in God. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Mark 11, verses 21 through 22, and verse 24. Now, through faith in God, we can overcome negative barriers in our life. We should have faith in God and exercise our faith through the word we speak. Now, let's look further as we get ready to close on this wonderful lesson that Jesus demonstrated power over sickness and disease. And as he ministered to the hurting individual everywhere he went, people cried out their needs, and in spite of the crowd reaching out and touched them. The gospel record numerous miracles that occurred in Jesus' ministry, each occurring through one of these three avenues. Most commonly, the individual had faith in Jesus and called out to him for help. A second avenue through which miracles of healing came involved family members or friends who sought Jesus on behalf of the one in need. And thirdly, Jesus sometimes addressed the need of a person first, calling the individual to a place of faith and healing. Now, there are many examples of people who demonstrated faith when they came to Jesus for healing. A woman that had the issue of blood, Bartimaeus who was blind, the 10 lepers. These are examples of many other reminders of the letter to the Hebrews. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Another path through which healing took place involves friends and family members of the one who is sick. For example, a group of men brought to him a man sick of the palsy, laying on his bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be thou of good cheer. Thy sin be forgiven thee. Matthew 9:2. Jesus is moved both by the faith of one needing a miracle and also by caring friends who brings the need to him. Other example includes a centurion who asked for help for a servant, and a woman from Canaan who asked for the healing of her daughter. Finally, Jesus demonstrated care for others by approaching them himself. Find that over in John 9:1-2, as well as verses 6-7. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, and what was his born blind? And he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, further, as we, the ministry and the miracles, they continue. Even today, miracles are still yet happening. John concluded his gospel by saying, there are many also other things which Jesus did, which, if they could be written, every one, I suppose that not even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written, John 21:25. This statement is not only true for the earthly ministry of Jesus, but also for the earthly church. The book of Acts records innumerable continuing signs and wonders by the power of Jesus Christ, which operate through his church. One may be astonished to read of the many miracles performed by Jesus Christ, but we also should remember his promise to those who follow. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, John 14:12. The book of Acts shows numerous miracles the apostle and his follower of Christ have performed. Now, some have observed that Luke did not write in the official ending of the book of Acts, implying that the acts of the Holy Ghost are to continue to be revealed in the church today. Some branches of Christianity tend to ignore the possibility of the miraculous occurring power even yet going on today. However, many can attest to the continual miraculous work of the Spirit in the church. Today, the church can continue to see God's mighty power demonstrated through his supernatural power, and it is so true. He is still yet moving and blessing his people. Now, Jesus' main ministry was to redeem mankind from sin, therefore making salvation possible for those who are converted. Jesus demonstrated his lordship over every area of life. He showed authority over disease, the demons, and death. He was able to control all elements of both the natural and the supernatural. Jesus' ministry showed a complete concern over one's mind, body, and soul. His miracles showed that he was an enabler of vision, hearing, speech, and mobility. A person who encountered Jesus was never the same. Jesus' assistance to others was performed out of compassion. He never performed a miracle out of selfish gain. If we are impressed by his miraculous work, then surely we should trust in his word. Every day we face distraction that would lead us away from God's teaching. It is therefore essential that we discipline ourselves to focus on God's word. From the Bible, we understand that God's people are destined with purpose. We should not fear the task before us, for Jesus is not limited by our weaknesses. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus desired to have confidence. He desired us to have confidence in his teaching is meaningful today. Miracles are still happening. Lives are still being changed. Jesus tells us, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation 1:18. And so you have it, children of God. We know that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And all of the wonderful miracles, amen, starting from the Sermon on the Mount, amen, teaching us our attitude, the type of proper attitude to have, and going on to his parable and seeing that he is the good shepherd as well as the branches and the vine and the branches, and that he was going to be coming back for his church. And then we looked at the power of this miraculous ministry, demonstrating power over death, power over demons, power over nature and need, power over sickness and disease. And that same self-power resides in the children of God's life. And I encourage you to execute and exercise the power that the Lord Jesus Christ has given unto us as never before in these days. As you come together in prayer in the spirit of oneness in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this lesson. We ask that you bless the hearers, Lord, as they endeavor to operate in the power of God, and that what you have demonstrated on the earth, that same power that was in you, reside in the children of God that is filled with your precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, Father, as we close out of this lesson and session, we ask that you're blessed with your people, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So it was a blessing to have you on today with me, and I'm so excited what God is doing in and through your life. And as I always would say, and my conclusion, if you don't have it, God got it. And yes, you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. According to Matthew 7:7, it is unto you a promise unto the children of God. Claim your promise, child of God. And so in my closing, I want to encourage you to visit our website, drhelenorm.com, also ShekinahGloryTabernacle.com. Invite someone to join you at home on next week. And until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich, yes, and add no sorrow. There is a no sorrow blessing coming to your house on today. Until we meet again, God bless you. Bye-bye.